Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy always to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. He came to be yours. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10 says. And friend, if you got up this morning, I've told you this before, in the lost column, thank God, you can end the day in the saved column. If you've got it all wrong, there is one way you can get it all right, and that's simply by trusting Christ as your Savior. You haven't done that. Do it quickly. Would you do it right now? Don't even wait till the end of the message. Don't even wait till you hear what God has laid on my heart to preach today. Would you just bow your head, humble your heart, realize you're a sinner by faith, repent of your sin, and receive Christ as your Savior. And I'll tell you what, friend, like Debbie sings, like we sing, you'll never be sorry. You'll never be sorry. I've opened my Bible to the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as soon as Debbie does a song, the title of it is Saved by His Grace. I'll be back with the message that God has laid on my heart. Again, Luke chapter 23, I'm going to begin reading, Lord willing, verse 33, and I'll skip a few and read down to verse 43. I'll be back in a moment.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believed. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame, that's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved by faith. I am saved.
I like that, friend, because it's true. Listen, it's the only way you can be saved. It's always been that way. I know this is the grace dispensation, the age of the church. Can I tell you, friend, from the garden on, from the garden in the days past, friend, of this place, this day present, the only way anybody, any sinner, every sinner could ever be saved is by grace through faith. Thank you, Debbie, for that beautiful song. Well done. What a message in it. Chapter 23 of the book of Luke, the Word of God says this, beginning in verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him. And I'm always amazed at that, how the gospel writers write that without explanation, without giving detail, without trying to identify what that meant. The Bible said, and there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But, watch this now, look at the change. The other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I'm going to talk to you a little while today about this thought, refusing to face eternity without a Savior. Refusing to face eternity without a Savior. That's what this thief that was hanging on the cross at a place called Calvary with a man by the name of Jesus did. Listen, he refused to face his eternity without Jesus. Now, I want to say something beginning this message. Friend, we're all headed to eternity. Every man, woman, boy, or girl that's under the sound of my voice, whether you're listening intently or you're just passing by this radio station in this area, listen, it's not a perchance that God has put this on my heart, that you have tuned in, that you're hearing this old country preacher's words and voice, that you're feeling the Spirit of God. We're all facing an eternity, and we decide what will be our eternity. We can face an eternity, friend, in a place that Jesus said, I've gone to prepare, or we can face it in a place that Jesus said, I've prepared it for the devil and his angels. And we decide, sir, we decide, ma'am, what that eternity will be. It's up to us. It is exactly up to us in light of what Jesus did at Calvary, making a plan of salvation so simple that he said, suffer or allow little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of heaven, as well as saying, whosoever will, let him come. It's not an exclusive club, Christianity. It's inclusive, and it's for those, friend, like this thief on a cross who was facing eternity, decided, I don't want to die. I don't want to die without a Savior. What a great story this is. What a great record the Word of God has given to us here in Luke about the conversation between a man who was crucified with Jesus, two men actually. And you've heard this before. I'll say it again in this message. Three men were dying on Calvary that day. One was dying in his sin. One was dying to his sin. And the man in the middle, and I'm about to get happy now, glory, hallelujah, was dying for our sin. I'm glad today that you nor I must face an eternity without a Savior, without Jesus, without coming to know the one who said that my Father has sent me, that I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'd like to know the number of messages that have been preached out of this passage of Luke chapter 23. My, I preached on it several times, and the Spirit of God has led me this way again this day, and without apology, I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, that you can face eternity with a Savior, with Jesus, with assurance, with confidence, with comfort, and with a peace that passes all understanding. I want you to look at the setting. The setting was a place called Calvary, well known in the days of Jesus, well known in that Jewish world, well known in that city called Jerusalem, well known for what it was, well known for where it was. Oh, listen, friend, it was a place where men were placed on a cross in a public display. Oh, listen, friend, and I want you to know that there is no record, no record that the cross ever lost a victim. No time do I ever read in all that I have read in my short life did the cross ever lose a battle with a man that it had been given, that it had placed on it. Now, haven't you looked at the characters? We're all there, by the way. There was the crowd. There was the soldiers. There was the condemned. And then there was the Savior. There was the crowd. My, what a crowd it was. You know what they did? They derided Jesus. I mean to tell you, they derided Jesus. They were like the bulls of Bashan. The prophet of old said they were casting their teeth in Him. They were ridiculing Him. They were scorning Him. They were casting their teeth in Him verbally, if you will. Then there were soldiers. They were mocking Him, the Word of God says. They'd been doing that morning. They'd put a crown of thorns upon Him, a reed in His hand, put a purple robe over Him, knelt before Him and said, "Hail, thou King of the Jews." They smote Him, plucked His beard from His face. Hey, they had scourged Him with a cat of nine tails. And there they were on that day. That day of infamy, that day that changes all of eternity, when they were there crucifying Him. And then there were the condemned mocking Him. If you read all four gospel accounts, you'll find in Matthew that not only was one of these thieves, not was only one of these malefactors at the beginning of the day ridiculing and mocking Jesus, but both of them. But oh, something happened to one. And listen, friend, something can happen to you. If only God, by the grace that you provide, if only one person today, one person would decide to change his or her eternity, we'll rejoice in you. There was not only the crowd, the soldier, the condemned, but there was the Savior. Oh, look, friend, he was dying. Yes, He was. Not because He was guilty of some sin, but because according to the prophecy that He was fulfilling, He was providing Himself a sacrifice for sin. He was fulfilling the prophetic word of Abraham, Abraham that day, that he and Isaac approached and found their way to this Mount Moriah many millennium ago, when Abraham said, "God shall provide Himself a sacrifice." So that's the setting. Much more could be said. But look at the situation. I've already mentioned it. And you'll find yourself, sir, ma'am, in this. You'll see yourself, if you choose to, in all of this. Look at the situation. One man was dying in his sin. And you know what? We're all dying. We're all dying. We're at different stages of death. But we're all dying. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die. The Bible, listen, tells us that because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden many, many years ago, that it's appointed unto man once to die. Even Romans 5:12 says those that have not sinned after the similitude of Adam. But oh, listen, friend, we're dying. This thief on the cross was dying immediately. I mean to tell you, he was dying in a place where criminals were dying. He was dying in a place, bless God, listen, where there was no hope and no help unless you meet a man by the name of Jesus on a cross to your left, to your right. One man dying in his sin, he had the same opportunity as the other thief had. He saw the same things. He heard the same thing. He needed the same thing. Oh, he could have received the same thing. But he chose to face his eternity without a Savior. How sad. Can I tell you, sir or ma'am, in light of what Jesus did at Calvary, there's no reason for any man, woman, boy or girl to die lost and face eternity without Christ. There was a man dying to his sin. I want you to know something. Hey, listen, it wasn't just his last chance. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, this just his last chance to be saved." No, it wasn't, sir. No, it wasn't, ma'am. It was his first. Matter of fact, it was his only opportunity. Can I say this to you? Today may be the only opportunity you have to be saved. Today God is knocking on your heart's door, so to speak. Today God is convicting you of your sins. Today God is doing His utmost to convince you that Jesus is the Savior of the world. It wasn't His last chance. Wasn't His last opportunity to be prepared for eternity. It was His first. We have no record at all of this thief ever seeing or hearing of Jesus before this day. But they met at a place that was on the precipice of eternity. And you know what He did? He saw. He saw the man on the middle. He saw, listen, friend, He saw the man on the middle cross. And I want you to know, he knew He didn't look much like a man. I mean to tell you, He didn't look much like a man, much less like a Savior, but He saw a sign that was hung by the edict of Pilate over that man on the middle cross's head. And it read in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." So he saw a sign. And it says Jesus. Now he knew what Jesus meant. Jehoshua, he knew the Old Testament story of that great deliverer, the one that succeeded Moses, took the children of Israel out of the wilderness into the land of promise. He knew what the word Jehoshua meant. And he said it was Jesus of Nazareth. That meant that he knew the downcast and the downtrodden. That meant he understood being from a city that was looked down upon. He knew what it was that it was to be an outcast. And he said, "Oh, he's from Nazareth. Maybe he could understand me like no one else could. And look, he's a king. Therefore, he must have a kingdom." So look, he not only saw, but he heard. He heard them say, "He saved others. He saved others." I believe he's come to understand Luke 19:10. "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Maybe he understood 2 Peter 3:9, where the writer said, "It's not God's willing that any should perish." But whatever the facts, he reasoned, "If he saved others, then maybe he'll save me." He recognized his plight. He was a sinner. He was rightly condemned. And that's what he told his companion of murder and theft and anarchy against Rome. He said, "We are guilty. We are receiving just rewards for our deeds. We're condemned justly, but not this man." Oh, and look what he did. He not only reasoned, he not only recognized, but he requested, "Lord, listen to that, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He requested to be remembered. He knew his salvation must be totally by grace. He had done nothing to merit it before his crucifixion. He could do nothing to merit it following his crucifixion. He was shut up unto faith. He was shut up unto faith, and he knew in some manner or another that if he were to be saved, it would be totally by grace. And can I tell you, sir, ma'am, it's always been that way. I said that in the beginning of this message. May I say it now that I'm near the end? There was one man dying in his sin, another man dying to his sin. He refused to face his eternity without a Savior. And there he was hanging on the Savior's right. And he said, Lord, remember me. And then the third man was dying for sin. Not his own, but the sins of others, the sins of lost humanity, the sins of fallen mankind, the sin of all of those who God said had missed the mark, who had sinned and come short of the glory of God. But look, and let's finish the salvation. For one thief, it was immediate. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And look, glory, hallelujah, at what Jesus said. He said today. In other words, it's immediate. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, listen, salvation is not progressive. It is immediate. It happens when a sinner realizes he's a sinner, repents of his sin, and by faith was willing to receive Christ as Savior. It becomes immediate. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This is what the Word of God says. The book of Acts chapter 2 verse 21. Also Romans chapter 10, maybe verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I get all kinds of criticism when I tell people that let's pray a sinner's prayer, let's call upon the Lord. And people criticize me for leading somebody in a sinner's prayer. I know there's no sinner prayer in the Bible. But I'll tell you what, friend, somebody that's dead, doesn't know anything about prayer, how to approach God, needs help. And the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John 5:12 says, he who hath the Son hath life. Listen, immediately when that thief said, remember me, immediately Jesus said, today it was as good as done. John 6 and 37 says this, the latter part of that verse, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go to Mecca, like a lot of people think they do. You don't have to crawl up steps on your knees. You don't have to crawl many miles on your knees and your hands or your belly. I'm telling you, all you got to do is come to Jesus by faith. It's only by grace. Always has been, always will be. Listen, this thief did not deserve salvation, but he sure needed it. And by the way, sir, ma'am, so do you and I. The book of Romans 3:23 says this, after it said in the latter part of verse 22, there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, listen, friend, he didn't deserve salvation. He needed it. And listen, friend, when he came to Jesus, he offered no excuse. He offered no blame to put on somebody else. He confessed he was a sinner. Lord, remember me. Jesus heard him say, look, buddy, you and I, we're thieves. You and I, we're guilty of murder. You and I are guilty of insurrection. You and I are guilty of anarchy against Rome. You and I are guilty of sinners against God. And he offered no excuse, pointed no fingers at his past, at his parents, at his neighbors, at his situation, at his condition. He just said, God, I'm a sinner, save me. And you know what? He had nothing but faith. That was enough, thank God. And can I tell you, sir, ma'am, today it's still enough. God has made salvation available to whosoever will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was enough for that thief on the cross in that day, and it's still enough in mine and your day. Listen, friend, it's enough for all who would do what the thief on the right side of Jesus did. Realize your lost condition. Recognize Jesus as a Savior and receive Him by faith. Why don't you do that right now? Why don't you today refuse to face your eternity without a Savior? Why don't you right now, friend, listen, God has brought us together. God has laid this message on my heart. I've tried to make it as simple as I can. I prayed that God would put His touch upon it, which makes all the difference. I'm praying that you would not only be convicted of your sin, but convinced that Jesus is a Savior, and by His grace be converted, and do it now. Would you call on Him? Say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh God, I repent by faith I receive, and Lord, save me for Christ's sake." And listen, friend. Listen, sir, ma'am, if you'll call on Him, He'll save you. He promised to do that, and if you will, He will. Call on Him today. Call on Him now. Thanks for tuning in. Let me know that you trusted Him, would you? Until
you are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.